Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, it's Jackie Cash and welcome to the Dork Forest. Intros are hard. I have a new album. You should be listening to it. I have a new hour. You could be watching it on YouTube, but I appreciate you listening to this, The Dork Forest. You could go to JackieCasia.com or TheDorkForest.com, and you can listen to it there. You can listen to it on wherever you're listening to it right now. You can watch it on YouTube separately, and that is where Altercation is also streaming. The album is available wherever you listen to any kind of album, and it's also on Bandcamp, which has a bunch of other, some very old Dork Forest that are free on that channel. Otherwise, you should know that the Dork Forest is, I don't have a Patreon, so feel free to donate. If you have $100 a year, I would love $100 a year from everybody. You can hand me a sweaty wad of 20s when you come and see me do stand-up, or you can email me or Venmo me. The email would be PayPal, Jackie@JackieCation.com, where you can also email me. And Venmo is just @JackieCation, which is like my Instagram and my TikTok and all the things. And there's merch. There's Dork Forest merch. There's Made of Bees merch. And I don't know. There's so much stuff. I can't remember everything. You're doing vital work by listening to the Dork Short Forest, and I'm glad you are. And I hope you want to hear about somebody's dorkdom, because that's what's going to happen right now. Rangers, it's me, Jackie Cation. You're familiar with my work because you're here. Hi. It's early. I've been on the road a lot. Sleepy Jackie. Anyway, but it's a good one. It's a good one this week. Comic out of New York with a brand new first ever special on YouTube called Untouchable. It's Elena Bamfield. Welcome to the show, Elena Bamfield.
Thank you so much for having me, Jackie Cation.
You're welcome. And Elena Bamfield is spelled A-L-A-I-N-A-B-A-M-F-I-E-L-D. Elena Bamfield. Her special is called Untouchable, and that's her handle on Instagram and YouTube. It's not in album form yet, so just go to YouTube and watch it, is what I'm saying. And and then you can listen to it streaming or buy it when it's a thing to buy, and your life will be complete. But get this. And you have braided pigtails, which are adorable.
Thank you.
And so long your hair. So we're going to talk cheerleading, which I feel like this goes. This is a look.
Yeah. It was hot today, but it worked out. A lot of times I wear my hair in double braids and people are like, oh, do you box? And I'm like, that's very complimentary. Like, to see someone of my stature and be like, you fight, right? And I'm like, yeah.
But only other people that are 5'1".
Because
you look tall on the riverside.
I'm 5'6", actually. So I'm like on the taller side. I'm like very like string bean.
Okay. Oh, so you're
trying to stand up for you?
No. I'm sure Patrick Brady would like you to turn your camera sideways. But sadly, I didn't notice it before we started recording. So my apologies, Patrick.
Okay.
He is a genius and we'll fix it. But here's the scoop. So 5'6" and that's taller than me. Though I always, in my family, nobody's tall. My tallest brother is 6 feet tall, but all of us feel like we're about 6'2" or 6'4". And my sister, who is 4'11", is the most,
oh my God,
she can be the most intimidating person you've ever met in your life.
That's crazy. That's like almost like booster seat sized.
Right. Well, she's 5'11 and 3/4". And so she tried to join the army. She was going to join the army so that she could play the French horn. And she had made the deal. And then she walked in to sign the contracts. And the guy, before she signed the contract, she was reading the contracts because we were raised. Mm-hmm. And she said, wait, it says here that you're not obligated to actually put me in the band, even though I passed the audition. And the guy said, yeah, well, it's not guaranteed that you'll be in the band. You know, if there's no room in the band, you can't be in the band. And Darla said, oh, and I picture it like this. I don't know if it happened like this, but I picture Darla just going, oh, I'm gay. And then she got up and walked out.
Yeah.
Because it was like 1983. So yeah. 1981, I think. So, and there was no don't tell. It was more don't ask, don't tell than anything else. And
yeah.
It was definitely against the law to join if you were gay. And so she just walked out and that guy let her. Anyway, so you are 5'6". Were you a cheerleader in high school?
I was a cheerleader in high school. I wasn't like, so I was a freshman in, I think, 2012, 2011 sounds right. And cheerleading had like totally left the cool era.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
Yeah. Because when I tell people I was a cheerleader, people are like, oh God, like the cheerleaders were always like the worst, like in school. And I'm like, oh, you're old. Like we were losers. Like everyone was like,
you were the popular girls.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, I always thought of that as sort of a movie trope anyway. Because
it is a movie trope.
Because I was the cheerleaders that I went to high school with, they weren't not popular, but they weren't, it wasn't like Heathers.
Yeah. It wasn't like Mean Girls or, you know what I mean? Like it was, yeah. And I would say like, so I did high school cheerleading for 1 year and I was sort of in a spot where I had a, cause I was like a backyard gymnastics kid. My dad like made me a balance beam out of wood with like hard edges and totally dangerous.
Wow.
You know,
thanks, Dad. I'm very thoughtful. Yeah.
Thank you, Dad. We were an Aflac family, so they were happy to take me to the emergency room. But so I was like already like throughout elementary and middle school, I had done middle school cheerleading as well, but I was like very into the flipping aspect of cheerleading. One of my best friends at the time was like a very elite level gymnast. So she was like teaching me how to do stuff in the yard. So by the time I got to high school cheerleading, I felt like I was like on a team that didn't meet my skill level. So I was like kind of doing, you know what I mean? Like doing cartwheels when I can do a back handspring sort of thing. So I begged my parents to put me in the like expensive club travel cheerleading. And that's actually where it becomes more popular girl, mean girl, sort of like the pay to play.
Oh,
is
yeah.
Where you meet the shitty people that, you know, like you've heard of dance moms before, like cheer moms are, oh my God, cheer moms are insane.
But you really liked it.
And I loved it.
And did you watch, like, I was in marching band. And so I had not heard of drum and bugle corps and I played the trumpet. And so one time I saw drum and bugle corps and I was like, oh, I want to be in drum and bugle corps. Look how cool they are. Because all it was drums and trumpets. And I was not. But I loved and I still to this day love watching marching bands.
So cool, especially when you're out of it for so long to like revisit it, even on like a YouTube short or something. And you're just like, oh my God, I can feel this in my body, you know, like I can feel how it feels to do it. But it was like my first love. I mean, cheerleading and tumbling was my first, that was like my calling before stand-up comedy. I feel like I found comedy and it just totally replaced, my obsession. But there's just something. So once I got to the all-star team, I was on two teams. So I was doing like 16 to 20 hours of cheerleading practice a week. And that's really where, you know, I got good. And I was kind of bad at everything else, to be so honest with you. Like
you're 14 and you only have so much, you're growing. You have to sleep.
That is true. But I mean, like in the aspects of like cheerleading, like I wasn't good at dancing. Yeah, you know, I was like, I was so skinny. I mean, I was 80 pounds my freshman year of high school. Just like,
That's
so
like-
small and rickety. It's like watching a scarecrow do a dance, you know?
That sounds so like an eating disorder.
It was like truly probably like borderline poverty was partially, you know, like just frozen dinners at home sort of thing.
Oh, just sort of. Not just one serving of a frozen dinner and that was it.
Like sort of. I mean, like I remember like one of my favorite meals, I was like either like pork chops or hamburger helper. And I look back on it and I'm like, pork chops are really cheap. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, we didn't have a ton of money, you know?
Right. It's how many kids in your family?
Just me and my little brother. He's 2.5 years younger than me.
And what did your dad, was he a carpenter guy or was he a factory guy? Did he?
He was in the Plasterers Union in Detroit for a long time.
So he could build stuff. That's why you could build the stuff.
Absolutely.
In the back.
Yeah, he built me like a little flyer stand too, because I was the girl that stood on top of everybody because I was so small. I couldn't lift anybody. I wasn't super great at it, but there was nowhere else to put me. Right. So my dad made me this flyer stand out of PVC pipe and screws, and essentially you like stand on it. It's got a little platform for your foot, and then it shakes back and forth like you're standing on top of people's hands, and then you pull your heel stretch and your scorpion and all that stuff on it. So it's similar to the balance beam. But I was very lucky. My parents have always been very supportive of everything I want to do. I wanted to do cheerleading, and it was expensive, and we made it happen, even though my dad bitched and moaned. He's like, I'm paying $3,000 for you to do cartwheels in a bra and underwear right now.
He's not crazy. Wrong.
But he's not wrong.
He did it. Yeah. And that was nice of him.
And we had like a reconciliation years after the fact where he was like, I walked into him in my childhood bedroom, and he was looking at the cheerleading pictures, and he was like, I'm so sorry. I should have been more into it. Now it's gone. You know, we'll never get to do it again.
Yeah. Well, watch my YouTube special, Dad. look, I'm on TV, sort of.
Yeah.
Are there famous cheerleaders, I guess, is my real question.
So there are, but it's kind of similar to comedy where there will be, quit drinking. Sorry, my dog's drinking water.
No worries.
But it's very similar to comedy in the sense that there's people that are like huge amongst the community, but like your average person probably doesn't know who they are. Like I remember, like we called them cheerlebrities. They were like the first influencers of my life. I have pictures on my Instagram of like Kiera Nowlin. She was like an exceptional tumbler. I can't remember what team she cheered for. And then there was Jamie Andrews. She had like a crazy 8-pack abs. She cheered for Cheer Athletics. So there's these girls that you'd go to these competitions and they'd post on their Instagram and they'd be like, come meet Jamie Andrews in Cobo Hall at this, you know what I mean? Whatever.
Yeah.
So I definitely had people that I like looked up to and wanted to be like, but when cheerleading just is such a team sport that even though you like want to be Jamie Andrews, you still are like, I love my team and I want to win, you know?
Yeah. 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 But it's so interesting because, you like what you say about stand up. It's also true of I couldn't name a boxer or a UFC fighter or a wrestler or like they're people that are hugely, hugely famous within. And now with even more with how cut up the internet is, you know, if you can get 11,000 people to love you and send you $100 a year, that's a great deal of money.
Yeah.
So you're watching these other teams and you're seeing these, you know, the very first influencers or the very first, you know, people, what kind of tricks are they doing and that are making them famous or
so
in this?
Yeah. Well, so for cheerleading, we have a thing. It's kind of like our Olympics. It's called Worlds. And in order to go to Worlds, you have to be, I think now they've changed it a lot, but when I was doing cheerleading, there was 5 levels of cheerleading that you could do. And that's all based on your skill level, kind of like with gymnastics, it's levels 1 through 10, and then you become an elite gymnast. And that's when you go to the Olympics. So level 5 teams get to compete at Worlds. So essentially I'm like watching these girls and I'm like, damn, I wish the girls on my team could throw the skills that I could throw. Cause I was someone on a level 4 team that had like a twisting layout, which is a level 5 skill, but not enough girls on my team had that skill for us to compete at that skill level. So they're throwing the coolest tricks you can throw that I'm like legally not allowed to throw at the competition. Like they're like the basket toss where they're doing backflips, you know. I was forced to stay in a plane.
right. Cause you have to be at the level of your team. Otherwise someone's going to get
hurt. Yes, exactly.
But here's my question for an audio podcast without graphics. Can you describe the different? So here's what I picture with cheerleading. Pom-pom, tiny skirt, Shake of the Pom Poms.
Okay.
Chant and chants.
Yeah.
This is what I'm doing. What else is, so start with that basic. Let's say everybody can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is it just
chorus line?
So there's a thing and it's called pom, and that's more like what that is. And pom tends to be more dance oriented. They do a lot of pom-poms in collegiate, like cheerleading. College cheerleading is much more like high school cheerleading, where you do the chants. Like high school cheerleading, I remember it's like, they were like teaching us to scream from our diaphragm, you know, like to be on the sidelines, to do the cheers. And all-star cheerleading is very different. It's a 2 minute and 30 second routine that includes, it includes group tumbling. So like running, like being in a group and synchronized tumbling, synchronized jumps, running tumbling. So that's when all the girls come from the sides of the mat and like tumble into the middle through each other kind of. And then you also have elite stunts, which are singular stunt groups, all throwing the same thing at the same time, basket tosses, dance. There is a cheer portion, but you don't yell. It's normally in your music. And then you're doing synchronized motions for the yelling portion of it. And then you do a pyramid. So I don't know how many things I just listed off, but all of that needs to be done in 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Right. And how many people are on the team?
So a large team will have up to, I think, like 22 to 26 people on the mat. And a smaller team would be like, I think, 12 to 14.
Okay. Wow.
So 26 people. So I was on a small level 4 team, and then I was on a large level 2 team. So my gym had the majority of people were like at a level 2 level, essentially.
Sure.
And my coaches begged me to join that team because I had the skill set. But that team, I mean, went as high as they could in the level 2. Like we went to US finals with our level 2 team.
Right. And you know this, and I mean, and this is unfortunate for you, but you know that when you play basketball with somebody who's better at basketball than you, you become better at basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like so you going to that level 2 team made everybody up there, everybody else's game. So I think it's too bad there wasn't a level 6 team that you could go to, but you were a great team member. Yeah.
I was a good team member. And then there's another interesting thing that comes in that 2 minute and 30 second routine. So if you have 22 bodies on the mat and your level 4 skill is a standing backflip, you know, just standing there and doing a backflip, the judges are going to count for 22 standing backflips. And sometimes you'll have someone on the team that's very good at stunting or very good at doing something else, but they don't necessarily have the tumbling. So you have to have someone or multiple people on your team that have enough stamina to throw those extra skills. So I was that person on my team where, you know, if my back spot didn't have a standing back tuck, somewhere in this 2 minutes and 30 seconds, Elena just has to randomly do a back tuck. I wasn't good at dancing. So while everyone was dancing, I was just kind of tumbling around, making up for everyone's lack of skill set, you know, like that's called me perfect. The Energizer Bunny. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what are the dance moves that they have to do? Like, is it the dance, just synchronized swimming?
Incredibly suggestive, especially for high school girls. I mean, it was
fantastic.
I think it's better now because safe sport is a thing, which is like a governing body for cheerleading and dance and gymnastics, where they have like a lot more regulations. Cause it was definitely when I was doing cheerleading, they were like, if you clean really hard, which is when you're done doing a skill, you slap your arms to the sides of your body to let them know that you're done doing it.
Yeah.
And the harder that you clean, the more cellulite you slap away. So they would look at us running and they'd be like, I can tell you're not cleaning hard because you got cellulite on your legs, you know, like, so it was a very toxic environment when I did it.
I don't even own any cellulite. Fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. And, fuck you. So,
yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. See, cause I mean, you worry about a lot of this stuff cause they put all the girls in tiny outfits and they put the boys not in tiny, except for the wrestling guys. They always put them in this like weird onesie.
Dude, that was, I wrestled for like a year in middle school because my brother was doing it and I saw how much my dad loved it. So I joined the wrestling team in middle school. The singlets suck, dude.
Right.
Especially for a girl stuffing her bra, it was horrible. It was the most horrible thing. Sorry, I should comment.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's fair to. Too much information is given in some of these very tight outfits. I remember I took like four, and I wasn't in any sports. My sister made me try out for a couple of them, but I never, and all of my family, they were managers. Like my sister was manager of the girls' soccer team. Swim team rather. And my brother Russ was the manager of the boys' football team. But we did have this thing. Now, welcome to the Dork Forest, where everything digresses into me telling a story about my childhood. Anyway, I'm in high school, and our gym classes were split up into something like 16 different 2 week or week and a half, week, 2 or 3 weeks, learn how to do shit, right?
And it was like specific, right?
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah. Right. So we did that too.
I did. So my sister and I shared a gym uniform because my parents were like, just wear hers. Just share the gym uniform. You don't have
share
gym
the locker. Yeah.
Yeah. Except for that Darla, as mentioned, is 4'11". And I am 5'4". And and it's a onesie. It's a plastic, you know, it's like a polyester two-toned blue. It was terrible.
Oh, wow. It wasn't just shorts and a shirt that you brought from home.
No, it was it was a weird plastic onesie. And so the seams were starting to split on the shoulder because I was growing, right?
Yeah.
And so I had to, and Darla was like, well, you can't wear it. And so I had to take, I think it was 8 different classes when I had that growth spurt that none of them used the gym uniform. So I took golf, I took biking and bowling, I took 3 versions of swim class. And
what
I didn't
know. Three versions could there be?
How to do like the freestyle, how to do butterfly, and how to do.
Oh, okay.
And how to, I think it was diving. And okay. Whatever it was, is I didn't have a swimsuit either. And so I'm the youngest of 6. Where there wasn't a lot of extra cash for weird clothes that were only used, you know.
Yeah.
Boots. Everybody had boots. Anyway, but they had loner swimsuits.
Yum.
Gross, weird, just black. Like it was like made out of sandpaper, this thing. But I was 16 and I had just the hugest tits of the world out of the blue. And I was like, I'm not happy with this outfit at all.
Yeah.
I am 16 and I'm like, I don't know what just happened. My life just changed fundamentally. And of course, there was a lot of chatter. Anyway, so.
And there was a lot of chatter.
There was a lot of speculation among the youth about whatever. But the crazy. Okay, so you have mentioned 1,000 things. What I'm saying is that being 16 can be gross if you are not protected, I think is what I was going for. Yeah, you need an adult around who's just like, guess what isn't okay, Uncle Jim?
Yeah.
Knock it off. Knock it off, lady. Quit being such a fucking weirdo, Grandma. And no need to mention. Did you ever see 16 Candles when Molly Ringwald's grandmother grabbed her boobs?
Oh, God.
Yeah. I don't think it was in the cable version. They cut 2 things out of the, and you're young enough to have only seen the cable version.
I've only seen the cable version. My mom made me watch it like when it was on TV.
Well, there's a shower scene, a nude scene in it with a woman with topless.
Oh, of the 16-year-old girl.
Yeah, of the supposed 16-year-old girl. And then also the grandmother grabs Molly Ringwald's boobs at one point.
To be like, they're growing? Or like, what is she doing? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was like, why is she doing
celebrate
that?
Right, exactly. And it's so funny because I brought the I used to babysit when I first moved to L.A. And I brought the VHS to the older girl who was 11. And I had forgotten about the shower scene. And her little brother, she's 11, he's 9.
Yeah.
And we're watching it downstairs. He's up in his room. And he had HBO. He had seen boobs. He's 9.
Yeah.
And
he'd seen boobs. He's 9.
Gross. But so I put the thing in, and all of a sudden the shower scene happens, and Caitlin yells, "Cole, there's boobs!" And he comes tearing down the stairs, and I leap for the remote, and I'm like, "Not on my watch, kid." You see the boobs when your parents sadly don't regulate your television watch.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Well, I'm a real clock eater here with these stupid stories, but let's get back to cheerleading. what's your favorite thing about it? What was your favorite thing about it?
I think it was my favorite thing about cheerleading, the thing I liked about cheerleading specifically, because I've always loved like tumbling and being on a trampoline. There's something about like, I'm almost like, there has to be something neurological, you know what I mean? To like spinning or like being, and like, it just like feels regulating within my body to do that. But cheerleading itself, like, I think the first time that I got thrown in the air, I was like, oh my God. Like, that's the closest thing to flying. Like, it was crazy to, like, be that weightless. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then you learn not to talk shit really quickly because you got to have people that want to catch you. And, like, you know. But I think I love stunting the most. I love being, like, basket tosses. Stunting is where they're lifting you into the air, where you see like the girl on one leg holding her other leg up in the air. But my favorite thing was this thing called basket tosses. That's where you see a girl just get thrown really high in the air, and then she will do
two different people.
Yep. Sort of thrower. They grab their hands in like a basket weaving formation. Like your right hand grabs your left wrist. And then your left wrist grabs their wrist and it forms a box. And that's where your feet go. And it creates this like really powerful throw, essentially, more than you can do with because your wrist strength wouldn't throw that hard. So a stunt group is normally 4 people. There's 2 people on the bottom. Those are the bases. You have your primary and your secondary base. And that really only matters when you're holding 1 foot. And then there's a back spot. So the person in the back is actually holding most of the weight most of the time through your ankles. You want a really strong, really tall person in the back of the stunt to hold everything up. But yeah, they essentially, the best back spot throws from your ankles and you're standing on that weave pattern and you get the highest and you have the most amount of time to do as many flips and twists as possible. So that's my favorite part of cheerleading. I like practice way more than comp. They try and get you as high. Yeah. I highly recommend anyone listening to just look up basket toss competition on YouTube. Okay. And it's just, they'll do like straight rides, which is no twisting, just going up in a pencil, you know, and coming back down. But they see who can throw these girls the highest and they get like the biggest dudes underneath them to toss them. But I think that's my favorite part is like the weightlessness and also like the team aspect. I really, I see a lot of commonalities, I guess, between like stand up and cheerleading, or at least the way that I approached both of them. Cause I would do these solo solo routines sort of, cause I had a lot of tumbling skills. So you can enter your athletes as single solo entries, essentially. So you do a 2-minute and 30-second routine by yourself with no stunting. It's mostly jumps and tumbling.
Okay.
And I remember I would sit on the steps before, because my coaches would make me do it because they needed level 5 representation for their gym. So they're like, we don't care, Bamfield, you're doing it. They didn't call me Bamfield either. They called me Bones. That was my nickname on the team, was Bones.
Charming.
So they'd be like, Bones, you're going out there, you're doing it. And I would cry and I'd be like, I wish I could just have one more person on my team with me, like out here. Like, I don't want to do it alone. And it's so interesting. It's just interesting to me that I can do stand-up comedy now because I had such a huge stage fright going into it.
But then also, I think I just remember thinking, like, nobody knows your routine. No one knows what you're supposed to be doing. And I tell myself that all the time with comedy now. Like, before I got on stage, I'm like, you didn't. No one knows that you fucked up the joke. You're the only one
you're
that
the
knows
only
the
one.
Routine. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, just go with yeah. it. And then also the thing of being like, everyone out here wants me to succeed. No yep. one wants to come to a comedy show and have a bad time. No one wants to come to a cheerleading show and see a girl get hurt, you know? So,
right. Everybody does want you to do, they want to see the cool thing.
Like,
whatever I used to, not a lot. I've seen skateboarding twice, but I loved it. So, and
it is cool.
Yeah. And you're just like, no, I don't want to see him wipe out. That's not fun.
Yeah. It's not fun at all.
Yeah, I even like watching the dirt bag, the dirt bike competitions
yeah.
where they have to do flips of the dirt bikes.
I used to, that was, I wish I could do that.
Right? I think you have to be super strong so you can pull the bike up. Yeah. So were there boys and men that were on the team as well?
Yeah, I had, I had two boys that were on my team that stayed on my team throughout the whole 5 years that I did competitive cheer. Okay. And we had a couple boys that would come in and out. We had this one guy, his name was Aaron, and he was only on the team for 1 year because you can be on a youth cheerleading team at 19 if your birthday like is in the right part of the year, essentially.
Right.
So he had like graduated high school, went to the army, and then like joined our cheerleading team. So we had like this giant army guy on our team for like a whole season, and it was fucking insane. That's the season that we did a level 5 stunt group, like just okay. one stunt group doing level 5 skills or whatever. So we did have a lot of boys, and the two boys that were on my team are like still my friends to this day and teach tumbling and like have fully dedicated their lives to cheerleading, which is what I thought I was going to do. So it's weird to be in New York right now and talking about this a little
right.
bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I always thought I'd like buy a gym and abuse a bunch of girls and, you know, move on with my life.
See what money you can make out of that.
Yeah.
So wait, so do these friends of yours, are they still in Michigan? Are they, do they own a gym together? Do they own, what do they do?
So the two boys that I'm thinking of, they kind of go around and they will do like tumbling workshops for high school cheerleading. So they go
okay.
like traveling a little bit. And then one of my back spot, actually, the girl that would hold my ankles up, her and one of my coaches from back in the day, they opened their own gym. It's called World Class Cheer in Lansing, Michigan. So I will still occasionally go to their, like, it's called Open Gym. You pay like $10 and sign a waiver and you get to use all the trampolines and floors and stuff. So I'll go tumble every once in a while. I don't have yep. much on floor. I can do all of the stuff I used to do on trampoline, but the floor is too much on my joints.
Right. That's the trampoline already. It's bouncy. Mm-hmm. So have you ever been to one of those trampoline, like the whole world is made out of trampolines?
They don't like me there. They're like, you can't do that. I'm like, I can though. I just did it. You know.
They're do they try to tell you that you can't try to do like double flips and stuff?
Yeah, they're like, oh, like no twisting, no double. Like sometimes different ones have different things. You know what I mean? But depending on, yeah. I think how many times they've been sued, they're like, none of that.
Oh, right. What's a double twist? And I sort of could picture it, but I can't.
Okay, so picture a backflip, right? A tucked, you know, regular backflip. Yeah. Okay. And so now picture that, but you're in like a hollow hold position. But you're going backwards.
Okay.
You're not holding your knees. Your legs, your arms are like by your side at your knees. And
okay.
you're kind of like in a, like if you were to lay on the ground and just lift your legs up off the ground, that's the position you're in. That's
okay.
called a layout.
Okay.
So it's called a double twisting layout. So you're in that hollow hold position, but you're pulling your body to one side or the other, and you're just doing like a pirouette twist sort of thing.
Oh,
so
in the air
there's
and then landing.
And then landing forwards on your feet in the way that you ended in. So the biggest skill I was able to accomplish was a double twisting layout. So I would go run, do the skill and twist twice and land on the ground. But you can only do that in level 5. You can't do any
right.
twisting layouts in level 4. So I was bumming.
That is amazing. I Yeah. So by the way, we are talking with Elena Banfield. She has her first ever comedy special out, and it's on YouTube. And at Elena Banfield on Instagram and YouTube, and that's where you can watch it. It's called Untouchable. And I just wanted to tell you guys that. And now we're going to talk about cheerleading. Okay. Hell yeah. So.
Unplanned pregnancy? Learn how people are getting abortion pills by mail for a safe abortion at home, no matter what state they live in, at plancypills.org. That's plancypills.org.
When you travel, because you got to travel for this stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you start in Lansing or outside of Lansing. And do you get in a bus? Do you fly?
It's like all on your parents. So this is where it becomes just like kind of a money suck, like competition season. My parents paid to have choreographers come in and teach us our routine. So there's like a 3-week period during the summer where you have to make sure your kid is at the gym for the whole day. Sometimes you'd spend the night at the gym. No sugar, all of that shit. You know, like it was totally eating disorder central for choreography week. So your parents pay for choreography, and then competition season comes around. Your parents also pay for your music because you have to pay someone to make that god awful cheerleading music that you hear.
Existing music and then just pay the licensing fee?
It's kind of like, I think they like, it's like when people try and like reuse stuff on YouTube and they just distort it just enough so that it's not a copyright issue. That's kind of what it is. It's okay. Like 700 songs mixed into one. And then it'll like randomly say the name of your gym. And you pay for that. You pay for that crap. They probably make it with AI now. But the cost of travel, the hotel, the gas, all of that is on you. They don't do the bus. You kind of have to find families that live in your area and then coordinate with them to like get a hotel room. You split the room with the Blakes or whatever. Yeah.
Right, with the other kids.
I had a cousin that did it with me. So like on my same team. So my mom and my aunt would just coordinate with each other and we did it that way. Right. But it's in general a mom's game.
Yeah.
Moms are normally the ones
who have to orchestrate all this stuff. I was in the marching band in high school, and our band director volunteered her summers so that we could have marching band.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And she would essentially hire us out to different parades to pay for the bus and the driver.
Yeah.
And she made no money. And we had to, I will say this about Miss Owie. She saved lives. Like she got us, like, you know, in the summer, you're like, you screw around and you play and it's all great. But it was like 3 or 4 days a week we had, or it might've even been every day, but we would march through the neighborhoods of our, you know, by the high school and we would practice marching and we would practice the music and playing while we marched. And then, and we like Saturday morning at 6 a.m., you know, get book. And then other people, she would get there even earlier and load all the, we had our uniforms. And so but for 20 years, she did this.
It's crazy because you don't know that the thing that happened that you loved so much was just because someone sacrificed their entire life almost, you know, for no money. It's crazy.
For no money and for no, you know, and you think about Miss Owie and you are incredible. I mean, I'm incredibly grateful. Everyone I know from high school band is super grateful, but they can't get anyone to do it and they don't have the money.
Yeah.
But they were like, as soon as she retired and she held out as long as she could, but she was like, I'm 70. I got to go.
Yeah.
And so she retired and the next band director, they were like, no, I have a family. I have a life. I want to go to Europe. I want to lie down for 3 months. I got to do something, you know?
Well, that's a lot of those like public school sports. Like that's why your history teacher is your football coach. You know what I mean? Cause they they don't have the money to pay for
an actual coach
to come in. And it is sad because that stuff is going away. Like, I haven't met anyone. I'm almost 30. I haven't met anyone that's like, oh, yeah, I coach youth lacrosse because I like it. You know what I mean?
My brother was hooked into coaching football when his sons were in junior high.
Yeah.
And it turns out he loved it with the power of the sun. And so he's been doing it for the last, I don't know, 15 years. And, you know, his sons are 28 and 30.
Yeah.
And so he's like, no, I just, this is what I should have been doing with my life. I should have been a coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was like, oh, I'm so sorry that you're fabulously wealthy. Anyway.
I think our wrestling coach was our local cattle farmer. So,
right. You it's know? Always somebody's dad who gets roped into it and then ends up discovering that they love it or they're, you know. And the same with the moms and the organizational skills where you're just like, especially if you, you know, if your job is flexible at all, you know, and or if you're a stay-at-home mom and your job is to figure out kids stuff. And
That's
lucky for other kids that there are moms whose job it is to raise their kids. So did your mom have a job or was her job raising kids?
She had a job. My mom was kind of like the breadwinner for a long time. Because my dad did the plasterers union thing and then he hurt his back. And then he started a small home remodeling business with my grandfather. And then 2008 happened. And on top of that, the like business got its identity stolen somehow. Crazy. So my dad didn't have a job for a little while. And then he started growing medical marijuana in our basement. And my mom, my whole life, has worked for a workers' compensation insurance company. So she's like, had a steady paycheck and got us health insurance and, you know, all that. She definitely worked and had to take a lot of PTO off or just kind of send me with my aunt. And my aunt worked too. We were not like, a lot of my teammates had moms that they were just cheer moms and moms and, you know, they had the, the luxury of hanging out with their kids all the time. There's a couple competitions where my mom just straight up wasn't there and it was okay.
She tried to do it as much as she could, but you know, if you got to work, you got to work.
You got to work, you got to work.
That's it. And, let's see. Cheerleading. What else?
I was looking into the history of tumbling kind of recently. Yeah. Whenever we did the Summer Olympics, because gymnastics has been in the Olympics since the beginning. And I'm like, what was gymnastics? Like, because, you know, how the fuck do you figure out you can flip your body at all? You know, like, and I found out that it was actually, when you first said that your sister wanted to play French horn in the army, I wanted to bring it up almost immediately because I found out that in Greece, it was like a part of army training to do gymnastics and to flip. And like, they believed that it like made strong, healthy men. And I'm like, wow, this is actually like a war tactic. And like, it almost kind of was a little bit like the trumpet or the drummer in the like intimidation thing of it. I don't know. Like, you see like these guys doing these crazy fucking flips and you're about to go into battle with them. You're like, I don't know what they're capable of, you know, but it has a history and like a use that they used to use it for before it was just an Olympic sport.
And if you think about it, they didn't really have very good armor.
No.
So if you were bendy and you could jump out of the way fast,
just matrixing it. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Where you have done a front flip over somebody and then you're like stabbity, stabbity, stabbity.
Yeah.
From the back. AI overview of history of cheerleading. It started as an all male collegiate sideline activity before evolving into a female dominated, highly athletic global sport.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of Johnny Campbell or Lawrence Kirkheimer?
Mm-mm.
In the 1860s.
Really?
Yeah. Organized crowd chanting began at Ivy League universities during football games. Do you remember any good cheers?
Oh, God. What did we have? Not really, to be so completely honest. We had, like, fun games that we would do. But I can't remember, like, but we'd, like, get in the formation and, like, you have to, like, put your hand, like, it's, like, this big clapping thing. Kind of like a sorority rush, sort of, you know, if you've ever seen those videos.
And you're just doing the...
Let's play concentration or whatever it was. Yeah. We did a lot of those. And we had, like, defense chants, but I don't remember. I only did the sideline cheer for the 1 year. And then our cheers for the all-star cheerleading was in our music, so... I didn't listen to that. I didn't like listen to it. You know, I was
a friend of mine went to
two,
Harvard.
Two, three, four. Okay.
Yeah. And she said that one of the cheers was that when they would lose, they would yell, that's all right. It's okay. You're going to work for us one day.
That's funny.
I guess it's an Ivy League thing that they do to each other, I guess. So,
yeah.
It seems pretty douchey, but they're also kind of funny. So
that is so funny.
So it's interesting. So did you cheer in college?
I did not cheer in college. I kind of a little bit, I had an opportunity to almost. One of my coaches at the time was a coach at Davenport College, which is, I don't know if this is still true, but at the time they were the only college in Michigan that offered full rides for cheerleading.
Oh, wow.
And I went to a few practices. Collegiate cheerleading is high school cheerleading, like on steroids a little bit. And it was, I never really liked high school cheerleading. It's a lot of chanting and dancing and palms. And, it's also on a not spring floor. I don't know if you know anything about gymnastics floors, but they are that blue carpet. And underneath it is a bunch of springs, kind of like how a mattress is built. And okay, it makes it easier slightly bouncy. It absorbs the shock of landing. It makes it easier to do connecting tumbling passes. So like if you were to do a double twisting layout and then do another backflip out of that, you'd want a spring floor. So
do they have a spring floor at the Olympics?
At the Olympics, yes. They do. And they they always do. Gymnastics always has a spring floor, but cheerleading, it can be either or. If you're doing high school cheerleading or college cheerleading, there's no springs. It's just a mat on a basketball court or whatever. And I essentially didn't want to do it because at that time I also quit mid-season my senior year. I had quite a few injuries and my coaches wanted me to like compete on top of them essentially. And we had like a big blowout thing where they were like, Bones, you're doing it. And I was like, I remember saying this. I remember being like, I'm 17 years old and I know when my body can, it can't do something, you know, like,
oh my God, you know what? Like, that's the sanest thing that good for you. And your parents supported that too, or
they did. Well, cause then they were like, well, you still have to pay. The rest of the year. And then I remember being like, my dad paid it all at the beginning of the year. Good luck at finals or like something like it was like a movie scene. Right. I felt so bad for my team, but like, cause I was like, who's going to throw all those back tucks now? But like,
right. But you got to lie down.
I got to lie down. So I feel like I kind of burned a bridge there a little bit. It was also just a matter of like, that was the only gym. I wasn't going to quit and go to another gym. That was the only all-star cheerleading gym in Michigan at the time that you could really go to. I just started smoking a lot of weed and doing acid at school. And like, you know, everything.
Did your parents support that too? They were okay.
No, they were okay. But yeah, they were, I think, as far as like the cheerleading thing, it was going to be done by the time I graduated high school anyways. So I think they were okay with it, but I didn't cheer in college. I tried to go to a community college, Lansing Community College, LCC, Last Chance College, what we call it in the area.
MATC is the one in Milwaukee. It's called Milwaukee's Alternative College.
Okay. So. But I did that for a little bit and I just kind of, I didn't know what I wanted to do. It was essentially, I was in community college trying to get a general associate's degree and get into like a sonography program, like an ultrasound tech sort of thing.
Okay.
But I had no passion or drive. It just was an option that the career advisor offered to me. And I was like, well, I've done nothing but cheerlead, smoke weed and do acid up until now. So I guess right. I'll go into the medical, you know what I mean? I didn't have a dream.
Suggestions. Yeah. I'm taking suggestions.
Yeah. Taking suggestions. And then comedy just kind of came about, and it was after I had already decided to, I had quit going to college and started working at the insurance company that my mom worked at my whole life. So I was like, I'll just do this. I was with my high school sweetheart. I was like, I'm just going to work at the insurance company and have babies and I guess provide a similar life to the one that I had, you know.
right, right.
And then it's all another, of a sudden.
Another generation of Lansing.
Yeah. And then unfortunately, I'm sitting in the cubicle and Joe Rogan episode with Nikki Glaser pops up. And I was like, huh. Sounded like that was, sounds like it could be fun. And
sure.
Now I'm in New York City. So
Joe Rogan inspired you. I'm
Joe
okay
Rogan
with
me. Inspired me.
Yeah. That's just so Rangers know I'm against him.
Me as well. At the time, he was
at the time
still,
you were 18 and you were like, I don't even know who that is. But
but it was essentially, it was 6 years ago. It was when he was still doing borderline comedy, you know what I mean? Having comics on that weren't politically
that
charged, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where he wasn't just, yeah. It's
yeah.
Where
I credit Nikki Glaser more than I do Joe Rogan for the seed.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes, Nikki's stand-up is excellent, and and the use of her resources to hire writers is extraordinary. And Nikki Glaser and I were roommates in Last Comic Standing.
Really?
Yes, because Last Comic Standing always put Grandma Jackie with the Ute. So the first year, my roommate, because they made us be roommates, because it's a thing that never occurs in stand-up. So they wanted to make it uncomfortable. My first roommate was Eliza Schlesinger.
Really?
Yeah.
That was my first live comedy show I think I went to.
And then my second roommate was Nikki Glaser. And then the third time, I had to cancel. I made it to the semifinals or whatever, but I had to cancel because I was going on my honeymoon. And, but I'm sure that there would have been a very pretty 22-year-old blonde woman that I would have been paired with in an effort to drive me mad. And but I was always too sane for Last Comic Standing. So it was it's for the best. So here's where we're at. It's what about like, you know how like the Dallas cheerleaders are famous?
Yeah.
What about that level? What about football? I mean, do you ever watch? Is that any good? What is that?
I mean, I think it's.
What is that?
I think it's good for what it is. I mean, I think in general, like generally speaking, I think it's bad. I think it's all the parts of cheerleading that I didn't like. It's okay. Dancing. It's looking good. It's calorie counting. You know what I mean? Like it's all very appearance based.
Yeah.
But I will say that I could never do what those girls do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it's like, even watching the Dallas Cowboy cheerleader show that they have on Netflix or whatever, and they're like, your foot needs to be at the top of your knee. And they're like, that's not the top of your knee, you know? And like,
right.
Just these little things. Like, I see Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, they are, like, in my opinion, they're dancers at best. They do, like, palm. But even palm dancing is, like,
because they don't
dancing
do any
is crazy.
That.
No, they don't throw anyone. They literally just dance, and I don't think that they do cheers either. So they're kind of the Dallas Cowboy dancers, if you think about it.
Okay. And what is palm?
Palm is more like it's kind of like group ballet. I want to say that's the best way I can describe it. But
like
with the palms in your hands. Kind of, yes. And the point of having the palms in their hands is to show how synchronized they are. Because if you have these bright, sparkly things in your hand, you're going to notice if someone is late, essentially. So that is like very highly competitive dancing. And I think most people that do palm come from a dancing background and there's not like a competitive dance team at their college. So they join palm. I think palm is also in Worlds. I think you can compete palm at Cheerleading Worlds as well. But that one is way more technical, like doing the pirouettes for 7 times in a row and they're kicking their leg out each time to keep the momentum going. Yeah.
And then everybody's just watching the pom-poms.
And everyone's kind of, the pom-poms will show if you make a mistake, essentially.
Right.
You know,
right.
If you throw your arm out doing your turn and no one else is doing it, they're like, that girl's off balance.
Yeah.
Deduction, you know, yeah, they're called deductions.
Right. Half a point goes
into
the well. It sounds incredibly, I mean, obviously the physicality of it is extraordinary, you know, where you're just like, is it strength training, do you think, or is it cardio? Yeah.
It's strength training and it's cardio. I mean, to do like a running tumbling pass where people do like the cartwheel into the like back handspring, you know, the back handspring is usually that first trick that they throw before they do the big one, you know, where their feet and their hands touch the ground and then they launch off.
What's the name of the woman who is like, they're naming stuff after her?
Simone Biles. Yeah. Biles. So she has six tricks named after her, I believe. And in gym, which is the most anyone's ever done. And I don't quote me on this because I could have it wrong, but I think in order to have a trick named after you, you have to compete it twice at a national level. So that means she has to throw it twice at like a visa final or whatever it is. Like it has to be at like a certain level of competition that you are completing the trick and you have to do it a certain amount of times for it to be named after you. But every trick in gymnastics is named after the first person to do it, essentially.
Okay. So you have to be the first person to do it, then do it.
First person to do it. And she's done it so many times that now they're just Biles 1, Biles 2, Biles 3, Biles 4. You know, like the first one was like the Biles, and now she's done so many that they just have to like Roman numeral that shit.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's amazing. She's truly incredible. I'm so happy that she has retired. I mean, I believe she's retired. She got a boob job. You don't normally do that if you're going to keep going, you know? They like you to be very small and very flat to do gymnastics.
That makes me, I mean, if you want to get a boob job, get a boob job. But it is funny to me that, because you're a gymnastics person, so you're known to be pretty, you have to be pretty symmetrical. You've got to be pretty flat.
You don't want to be top heavy.
You don't want to be. And so how old do you think she is?
Simone Biles, and I think she's in her late 20s or she might be 30. I think we're around the same age.
Okay.
And I'm going to be 30 this year. So I think she might be 31. Maybe she's a little bit older than me.
She's 29 years old. There we go.
We're exactly the same age.
Okay. So the hilarious thing, or just the sort of the, and I, it's not sad because it's, I mean, it's her body. Do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Hey, abortion bills by mail. Because when you grow up in the intensity of that surrounding where your body really isn't your own, you know, because you are being sculpted and you are being trained and you are being told that you can't eat sugar or you can't weigh this.
Yeah.
And you have to.
Yeah. And I'm fucking on top of that. I mean, like a lot of these Olympic gymnastic girls, like, yeah, your body's not yours. And Larry Nassar is your doctor. You know what I mean? Right. Like on top of all of that, like that was the craziest thing for me was seeing these people that compete at such high levels and being like, I barely functioned. How did you just get a trick named after you? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like
right.
You are a superhuman, like insane.
By the way, so Alana Bamfield, Untouchable is the name of the special on YouTube. It's at Alana Bamfield on YouTube and Instagram. And he was your doctor, that fuck.
He was my doctor, yes.
So
in Michigan.
In Michigan. So, yeah. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Fuck that guy.
So I just think Simone Biles getting a boob job is just a point where she's like, no, I want to also, I'm going to have big boobs now, or I'm going to have medium-sized boobs. And
I'm going to like my body the way I want to. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. So good for her. Yeah.
Honestly. Honestly. Because she's worked so hard for this country too, for like, little to nothing. Like, you know.
Right. Yeah. Do whatever you want, Simone.
Do whatever you want.
But it is, it's interesting because it would be a thing where you'd be like, why would you do that? Except for the fact is, why wouldn't you do that? You know,
if you could, you know, it's like, it is one of those things where it's like, when you can, like even now I get made fun. I work with Sam Talent on the road a lot.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to do a fucking handstand in this green room? And I'm like, maybe, because I can and you cannot. Yeah. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, gosh. But there's something to be said about being able to and being like, I have to do this while I still can.
Yes, exactly. Didn't he write that book that I did a chapter of, Sam Taylor?
Yes, yes, Running the Light. And he's got another one coming out in this month, actually, September something.
Sam Talent's writing skills is extraordinary. His prose is gorgeous. And the weird thing about that book that I thought was that it was everybody's road stories.
Yeah.
And he gave it to that one character. Mm-hmm. And plus it ends with a lady and the lady or the tiger kind of ending, which is a weird reference from the 1850s. Anyway,
he's so weird. I love him.
Good. Yeah. He's doing great, but I do love his writing. His writing is gorgeous. So I am actually kind of excited to hear he's got a new novel up. So, Elena Bamfield, I'm excited that you came on the Dork Forest and talked about your new special and cheerleading for an hour, hilariously. It's called Untouchable. It's on the YouTubes, and she's a New York comic. So go find her, do stand-up, and opens for Sam Talent. So go watch her do the stand-up out loud in person. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?